Is it going?
Now it is.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, so there are priorities in life, and you know, you have to put first things first. A farmer plows up the ground before he plants the seed, right? He doesn't throw the seed around and then start turning up the ground. So, you know, that's just the way things are. There's usually an order or a process or a way of doing things and priorities. And in every aspect of life, we need to have priorities. We need to have proper priorities, and especially in our spiritual walk. What needs to be first, we need to see what needs to be first and what needs to be important. You know, certainly if you had an accident in your car and you got hurt, you could pray for God's deliverance and healing. But the really good thing to do is pray before you get in the car and ask for God's protection and that he takes care of you. And that's doing it a better way. Okay, chapter 6, verse 24, we're going to start. And it says, therefore, no man can serve two masters. The word serve is the word douleo. I mean, it's from the word doulos. We get the word doulos, which means a bond slave, a servant or a bond slave. And when you're a bond slave, you know, in the biblical terms, it was someone that, you know, was serving maybe because his master had paid off a debt for him or something. And then at a certain point in time, he would say, I really like being with this guy and I'm going to commit my life to him. And so it would be a bond slave by free will, right? So here it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be a slave or serve or be totally committed to two masters. It's a hard thing to do, right? Because what if one guy calls you and says, do this, and you run there, and then the other guy calls you and says, come do this? You know, unless you have a split personality, maybe. Anyway. The word mammon means wealth and riches. Bullinger says it is that which you put your trust in, which I thought was pretty interesting. It comes from an Aramaic word. Okay, so verse 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment, more than clothing? And it says here, take no thought. And the word thought is the word merimneo in Greek, and it means to be over anxious or be overly careful about, right? That's what it means, to be over-anxious about, or, you know, overly careful for, or, you know, so much care about it. So the question is not life more than food? Is not life more than clothing? Do you need food? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure you do. Do you need clothing?
Yes.
Well, if you don't want to go to jail, or unless you live in a nudist colony. You don't need it, I guess. Except in the wintertime when it gets cold. Okay. So, but it's not to be your whole life, is it? It's not to rule your life. It's not to be overly anxious. You know, has anybody here ever really missed a meal? Probably not. Or if you did, maybe you did it on purpose or... Then it says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You know, are you better than the birds? Well, God says you are, right? He made man to have dominion over the animals, over the birds of the air, and over the creeping things, and over the fish in the sea, and over everything. Which one of you, by taking thought, and said... Same word again, you know, being overly anxious or, you know, extreme care or being overly careful, can add one cubit unto his stature. You know, you could worry and worry and worry and worry and be anxious and anxious. You're not going to get any taller than what you are genetically programmed to get. Now that, you know, if you didn't eat the right food and then you started eating a good, you might shoot up and gain your full stature. But you're not going to get any taller than what you've been programmed for genetically. It's what you're stuck with. Then it says, which of you by taking thought, can I say, and why take ye thought for your raiment? Why do you worry so much about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You know, they don't grow cotton, they don't raise sheep, and they don't take the cotton and the wool and spin the yarn and make the cloth, do they? And I say unto you, yet that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith, little believing? Therefore, take no thought. And here again, it means not that you don't take thought. I mean, you got to think, okay, I got to get dressed today, and where am I going, and how cold is it out, and what it means to be overly anxious about. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So here God sets in order what priorities in life should be. Your priority in life should first and foremost be to seek God. Pretty simple, huh? Pretty simple. You know, we all do lots of things. And I think about it sometimes, about how I spend my time. And, you know, people spend time doing all kinds of things. And people spend all kinds of time getting dressed, and they spend all kinds of time thinking about what kind of food to eat, and they think about where they're going to go to entertain themselves or how they entertain themselves, and they spend hours in front of TVs. And so my question would be, how much time do you spend with God? How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend reading God's word? You know, is that a priority of life? Then it goes on, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. You know, don't be so worried about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And it doesn't mean that the day is evil, but it means you only have one shot at every day. You only have one chance to live each day. You know, and tomorrow is going to come whether you are prepared for it or not. You know, so the conclusion is that the number one priority in life is to be God. And this is what Jesus Christ taught on the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes people think if I just get my physical life in order, then I could really do stuff for God. Or I need to take care of this and I need to take care of that. And that's really backwards. Yeah, that's really backwards. You need to take care of God first in your life, and then the other stuff will do much better. If you give your life to God, the things of your life will be much more in order. Pretty simple. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. You ever hear the terms to be proactive rather than reactive? Well, that's really what we need to be with God. We need to be proactive with God, not reactive. You know, you don't wait till things happen and then run to God. You have an active spiritual life where you're talking to God, praying to God, asking him for his protection and guidance, and doing his will to the best of your ability. It's not about correcting your flesh, is it? It's not about cleaning up your act. If you're busy doing what God wants you to do, if you're focused on God, your act will be cleaned up because you won't have time to do the stupid stuff. Anyway, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. Well, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, what does that mean? You know, if you make a sacrifice that requires, in the Old Testament, if you made a sacrifice, it required a commitment, didn't it? You would take a bullock or a sheep, and that sheep or bullock had to be perfect, had to be without blemish and without spot. And then you gave it up in a sacrifice. Once you gave it in sacrifice, could you get it back? No. It's done. It's over. It's a full commitment. See, and here God says he doesn't want us to be dead sacrifices. He doesn't want us to give an animal, but he wants us to give our life to him. Some people say, well, boy, I won't have any fun in life. Well, I don't know. Dealing with the problems of life is not really a lot of fun. And living a life with God where God blesses you and takes care of you and watches over you and does things for you is really a great way to live and an exciting way to live if you really live it to the fullest, because God will do incredible things for you. So if we put God first, if we take care of our walk with him, he takes care of us. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And we're going to look at verse 29 and 30. It says in verse 29, for by thee, by God, have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. You know, and that's alluding to a military thing where the psalmist ran through a troop. You know, they didn't touch him. I told you, I think, a couple of weeks, maybe a month ago, about the guy we met from Sri Lanka, and his father was called the Bulletproof Pastor, and he went into the war zone in Sri Lanka when they were having the civil war, and they call him the Bulletproof Pastor because his clothes were full of bullet holes, but he never got touched by a bullet. And he just, every time he went, he would come back and he'd have to get a new set of clothes because they were wrecked, but he never got touched. He never personally got wounded, not even a scratch. So here the psalmist says, I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. He's a buckler. Okay. You know, a buckler is part of a shield, and it's the point they put on the front of the shield. So it's not only protect you, but it's an offensive weapon. let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is all familiar to you, I am sure. But it doesn't hurt to review. In verse 3, it says, well, in verse 1, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. To fret is what? Being anxious, right? Worried. Overly anxious. We saw before, we're not to be overly anxious concerning things. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, sometimes we look around and we see people and we think, well, why do they have so much? Or why do they get to have that or do this or do that? I don't know. Does it matter? It's, you know, again, are we to be overly anxious concerning physical things, food or clothing or possessions? No, we're not. Does anybody lack? Really? I have never really lacked in my whole life. I've lacked at times, but looking back, I never lacked anything. Most people in the United States in the 20th century have never lacked anything. Maybe in the Great Depression, but other than that, people pretty much have lived a pretty fat life. You know, poverty in the United States today, for the most part, is at a higher level of existence than a lot of middle-class people in third-world countries. If you've ever been to Mexico, or if you've ever been to Haiti, or some of these places, or the Dominican Republic, or, you know, what we call poverty there is middle class, and what they call poverty is way below what our poverty line is. You know, a lot of times people are on the below the poverty line in the United States. They own a car, they have air conditioning, they get food stamps if they can't afford their food, which a lot of times they don't even spend on food, but that's another story. The kids go to school and they get breakfast, they get lunch, they get a hot meal in the afternoon. You know, if you need clothes, there's places where you can go and get free clothes. If you need food, you can go to the food banks. You know, if you need a place to live, you can find shelters, and, you know, there's public housing and all kinds of stuff. You know, in the Dominican Republic, I remember we went there and people live in shacks, cardboard shacks, and, you know, and they're huddled together without bathrooms, without running water, without electricity, all that stuff. Amazing. Okay, so fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Okay. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. What does it mean to trust? To rely on, right? To have confidence in. To know that God will take care of you. That's what it means to trust. You know, I do what God tells me to do, and I know that he's going to take care of me. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What does it mean to delight thyself? Enjoy God. Enjoy God. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What does it mean to commit thy way? You make a decision and you hold fast to that decision that you're going to do what God wants you to do, right? It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, rest in the Lord. You know, there's not a lot of rest in other things, but there is rest in the Lord. And it says, and wait patiently for him. Patiently. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So, you know, it starts with fret not and it ends with fret not there. And in between, what does it say? Trust God. You know, commit thy way to God. Delight thyself in God. Rest in God. And it says he's going to, you just do what he wants you to do and he'll take care of you. How hard is that? Let's go back to Matthew again. Gospel of Matthew, verse 13. Yeah, you know, in the final analysis, God is real simple and life is real simple. If you believe him, do what he asks, you'll be blessed. And if you try to do it your own way, you'll struggle. You'll have difficulties. Chapter 13, verse 18. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. This is, you know, previous in this chapter, Jesus Christ taught about the parable and the sower, and then the apostle said, okay, Jesus, what are you talking about here? What is this all about? And then in verse 19 it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. The wicked one is the devil. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So this, the first guy, he doesn't quite understand, and so the devil talks him out of anything he's heard, and he's gone. Second guy receives the word, but he doesn't really bury it in his heart. He doesn't take root. And so when persecution comes, when difficulties come, he goes, well, God's not really real. He doesn't really help me. And he's gone. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns, he is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And the word care there is the word merimneo, where he becomes over-anxious. He's looking around, he's seeing that everybody else has what he wants, or he doesn't, you know, think that God's going to take care of him. You know, I abundantly shared, and I didn't see anything come back to me this afternoon, so I'm going to go the different direction here. I'm going to keep it all for myself. I'm not going to trust God. So what happens? He becomes unfruitful. The riches of the world, the deceitfulness of the world, tricks him out of it. And then it says in verse 23, but he that received the word into good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then there's the person that receives the word, holds on to it, nurtures it in his life, and then he bears fruit. And God takes care of him, because that's what bearing fruit's all about, right? He bears fruit. So there's two ways that the cares of the world can come before God. The first is that you get over-anxious and you fear that God will not supply. The second is you desire what people around you have, and then it begins to consume your life. You fear that you're not going to have everything that everybody else has. You know, I'm not going to have that fur coat. I'm not going to have the new car. I'm not going to have the fancy vacation this year that everybody else has. But you know what? God says, trust in me, and I'll take care of you, and I'll do my best for you. And if you stick with it, you'll see the fruit. You'll see how you prosper. You'll see how you produce in your life. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. You know, it's not to say that life is not without challenges, because periodically the world and Satan are going to throw stuff at you to try to trick you out of things, right? Oh, yeah. He's going to try to pressure you. He's going to try to entice you. He's going to try to fool you. But, you know, you have to have that word built in your heart. You have to hold fast to the promises of God's word. In chapter 3, verse 20, speaking about God, it says, now unto him, unto God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know what? Sometimes it's not what we think or ask that really is what he does for us, but he does for us what we really need. You know? Because sometimes what we ask for and what we think is really not what we need. And what we really, really want in our heart is, it should be what God wants for us. And sometimes what he gives us and what he exceeds in giving us is not even in the realm of our thinking. You know, I mean, think about it. If when you first sought God, or somebody first told you about God, or you first learned about God, you think, oh boy, I want to be righteous before God. And nobody thinks about that. People think about other things, you know, oh wow, God will help me figure out my bank account. He'll heal me of my whatever. He'll do this for me. He'll do that for me. But what about, wow, I'm righteous before God. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. I have Holy Spirit. I have eternal life. That's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, because man would have never thought that. You know, if you look at the man-made religions of the world, what's it all about? Well, first of all, you have to work really hard. You know, it's all about works, and you have to work really hard. And then when you work really hard, you're still not guaranteed anything. You know, you might have to come back 65 times before you make it, and you might go backwards a couple of times. So imagine being a king in one life and then being a worm in another life. That would be a
letdown.
Letdown, yeah. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Amazing. God's not like that, is he?
No, no.
God doesn't let us down, and God gives us guarantees, and it's not hard work to get there. All we have to do is believe, trust him. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, think about what God did for Israel, what God has always done for his people. He takes care of them. He protects them. He watches over them. He prospers them. He loves them. He does his very best. And we're no different from any of those people. Well, we are, if they're Old Testament. We're even better because we're his children. And he'll do just as much for us as he did for them and more. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please him. Please him meaning God. You know, if you don't believe God, you don't please him. If you believe him, you please him. That doesn't mean that he throws you away if you don't please him. It just means, you know, you're not pleasing him. But he wants us to believe, right? Because when we believe, what happens? We receive, right? We get the promises of God in our life. We see God's blessings. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, and that doesn't mean you just seek him once, you get born again, and that's the end of it. You know, you seek him all the time. You seek to know what he says, how he can direct your life, how he can work in your life, what he would have you to do, not what you would have to do. How you can bless him, how you can do for him. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. It says in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. And the word careful is be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, what's everything?
Everything.
Everything. You know, nothing is too big for God and nothing's too small for God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants to know. It's not that he doesn't already know, but he wants us to acknowledge him. Verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need. How much of your need? All your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need is how much of your need? All of your need. And of course, that's in the sense of genuine need. It's not stupid stuff or silly stuff or greed. But all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, does he go beyond our need sometimes? Sure. He gives us abundance. He does things for us way beyond what we think sometimes. He does stuff for us that we could never imagine. Okay, let's go back to Psalms. We'll finish up in Psalms. Psalm 37 again. Sometimes Psalms is just so perfect. It just says things so simply. It's so straightforward. You can't mistake it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. Not all of you, but certainly me. Some of us. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And that's true. I've never seen it. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, or justice, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You know, so these people that you see, and, you know, these people that are fabulously wealthy and you know, whatever else, if they don't believe in God, when they die, it's done. It's over for them. How much will, you know, how much do people pay to stay healthy? And how much would they pay? Every last penny. They will beg, borrow, and steal, won't they? So, well, how much is eternal life worth then? You know, if this life is precious, how much more precious is eternal life? Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You know what that means, right? It means if God's word is in your heart, your steps don't slide. You don't slip. You don't trip. You don't fall. You don't go backwards. And let's go to Psalm 13. And this should all be our song and our prayer. It says in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation, in God's salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You know, and certainly anybody that's born again, God has dealt bountifully with them. You know, we have received above and beyond what we could imagine, but yet he still continues to bless us with all spiritual blessings. He continues to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, because he is a great and loving and mighty God. But our priorities in life need to be correct. They need to be that we're putting God first. We're seeking God diligently. And when we do that, he rewards us. He takes care of us. He blesses us. Okay? So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for taking care of us. We thank you for just a great day and a great week ahead, that you are there in our thoughts, in our heart, and in our minds constantly, and that we can just do our best to serve you and love you and do your will. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.